I'll be grateful for every second that I can say that I belong to you, Sarah Svane. 80 years or 18 hours, it doesn't matter to me. It'll still be the highest honor of my life.
Welcome to the Busy Girls Book Club. Hi, guys. We are here today bringing book talk, famous books, reviewing them, being honest about them, so that you guys can decide if they're worth a read, if you're busy, and also hopefully so you can get really angry at hearing our opinions. And we hope that brings you joy. I'm Casey.
I'm Caitlin.
And I'm Catherine. And boy, do we have a book for you today that is polarizing for this group. Not for the general public, but polarizing for this group. It is Quicksilver by Callie Hart. And it is extremely popular on Book Talk. I mean, like, it gets recommended whenever someone finishes like Fourth Wing or ACOTAR. And they're like, are you in a reading slump with this book? You should read this book. And so it's a romantasy, obviously. And it follows Sarah Svane, who is kind of a human girl living in this arid desert community in the Plague District under a dictatorship of a queen that keeps them segregated and out of power and basically gives them no water, no nothing. And she has this ability that she doesn't know what it is, but she knows it's illegal. And she is a thief. And she's just trying to get by and help her family out. And suddenly she's kind of brought into this new world and into learning more about her magic and the world in general and how who the queen is, who the fates are, who the gods are, and who really runs all of the world. And she's kind of thrust into this journey with a shadow daddy at her side.
This is the most TikTok of TikTok books.
Yes.
We put off reading it because we were actually, I don't know, I personally was like, ugh, it can't be that good. It's everywhere. That's the whole point of the podcast. So, oops. but we're here now.
Yep.
Do you guys have reviews?
Yes.
I feel like me and Catherine probably have some of the same ones. So okay. I have multiple. So Catherine, you go first.
Okay. I have two. And they're just back to back. They were the first ones that popped up when I went to One Stars because, Lord, are y'all's One Stars hilarious. One star on Goodreads. I'm convinced everyone is being held at gunpoint rating this 5 stars. And then the second one is, I feel so bad for all talented fantasy authors because how popular this is. The dialogue and writing are so derogatory millennial.
Yep. I had both of those. So, but I have one more, luckily, and it was my favorite one. So amazing. Also a 1 star. The male main character is named Kingfisher.
It is a strange name. Okay.
It's a bird. In case
I
you
had
know.
That literal exact thought. I was like, I'm sorry, that's his name.
I have 3 short ones that I liked from Storygraph. I have a 4-star that says, was this cringe? Yeah. Was it fun? Yeah. Will I read the next book? Yeah. And then a 3-star that says, God, I'm so done with romanticy.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my favorite one, though, because this could have been written by me. Broody MMC, check. Fae Warrior, check. Shadow Daddy, check. Wicked Mouth, check. I don't know why it took me so long to read this book, but it has become one of my new favorites. Go read this book ASAP.
Yeah, that literally sounds like you.
It checks my boxes, you know. Shadow Daddy, Fae Warrior, and a mediocre female main. It's all I care about.
It's truly like the textbook template for the romanticy these days.
And I eat it up every time. I'm sorry.
Hey, you like what you like. Well, people agree with you, you know, yeah, everybody else likes it too. The overall Goodreads rating is 4.4 out of 5. And the Amazon rating is 4.6 out of 5. Do you guys want to speak to your own thoughts?
I gave it 5 stars. We all know this. There's an equation, and I say this every time. There is an equation, and it gets me every time.
Yeah, I gave it 4 stars because I think there were moments where the pacing kind of lags. It's a very long book. So, and the relationship I liked, but at the same time, there was problematic moments. And I couldn't in good conscience give it 5 stars when I had some critiques. But I really liked the book. I read it very, very quickly. Yeah, so I gave it 4 stars.
Yeah.
Casey.
I'm scared.
Yeah, I fully hated this one. I'll start by saying every book that has a grouchy shadow daddy, an annoying, idiotic female main character, and fated mates is getting 1 star from me from now on.
And every one of those is getting 5 stars from me.
Wow. I'm done reading them over and over and over again. The fated mates has become such a crutch for these awful, basic fucking relationships. And I could not stand this one. For me, it was actually not the plot. It was not the world. I didn't like the characters, but it wasn't that's not what did it. It was the fucking fated mates again. When I did not like this relationship, I actually thought it was a bad, unhealthy relationship. And I think both the main characters were awful to each other. And I do not understand their connection at all. Like, it feels like ACOTAR book one to me. When you look back and you're like, why are we all on board with that? Like, do they ever talk? So yeah, I fully hated it. Like, I actually aggressively didn't like it at all. But yeah, as I said, it was the romance in particular. I didn't buy it. I didn't like it. I actually think there were times when it skewed really awful. Yeah, 1 star.
Yeah, to be fair, I read this book before the other two did. I read it and finished it, and I was like, oh my God, Caitlin is gonna love this book. And maybe Casey might like it, but it's a 50-50 because you've surprised us in the past.
Casey would like it.
No.
Oops.
I mean, we'll get into it later. There are other small things. It just, honestly, it wasn't for me. I thought it was too long. Like, I predicted every single one of the plot twists except the very last one. So I was just like, I don't really know why I would read this.
To escape. That's why I do.
Yeah.
For those, you couldn't see my face with how we recorded, but I was like the human version of the grimace emoji the whole time Casey was talking.
I hid. I went out of frame.
Yeah. So it's going to be one of those episodes.
Okay, well,
let's get into discussion.
Yeah, let's keep it light and humorous, you know. I already know we're going to get right to the humorous when Casey answers the question, is it more plot or character driven?
Yeah, Casey? It's obviously plot driven.
Yes.
Wouldn't have been character driven.
No. Okay, but she better than DM. She's better than DM.
I actually, okay.
She liked that book, Catherine.
I know, but she's better.
Better than DM. However, she's about 5 times more embarrassing than DM. Like, I think that she's not the most annoying main character, but she is the most cringy. And I actively felt like intense secondhand embarrassment from listening to her.
I like that she's like at least actively trying to change her situation, unlike DM and some of the others.
Yes. Mm-hmm. My issue with her was that she would like say like these really crude random comments and then get really embarrassed when people would be like, okay. Like, there's one scene when she brings up Kingfisher's dick for like absolutely no reason. And I was like, yeah, this is like if you gave a 15-year-old like, I don't even know. It's just like you give a 15-year-old a microphone and they just start talking. I was like, that was a weird thing to say. and I'm extremely embarrassed.
You know, it's been months since I read this book, so I've wiped that from my brain.
Like, in the dialogue, she comes across as, like, actually dumb.
I mean, I don't know if I got that, but okay.
I didn't get that either, but...
The next book comes out in November. Have you read other books by Callie Hart? Would you read other books? Will you continue this series? I will obviously read the next book in November.
Yeah, I'm okay.
Yeah, we figured.
That was so passive aggressive.
I mean,
the look you gave her when you said that.
I have not read other books by Callie Hart. I thought I might have because the name is very, I don't know. It's a very common name. So I was like, I feel like I've read something by her, but no, I haven't. Yeah, I'll continue with the series. I enjoyed it. I thought the ending was interesting, left off on a kind of a cliffhanger. So yeah.
Okay. Right.
What about the pacing? It is a long book.
It's a very long book. However, I read it in Goodreads says 5 days, and it didn't feel as long as it says it is just because it's not super complex writing, which is probably an issue for Casey, but it's not an issue for me. The first, 150 pages, pretty slow character building. And then from there on, it slowly picks up pace until like the end, which is very like high pace, high stakes at the end. So I had no issues with it. Like, it was slow to get into, but worked for me.
Yeah. Obviously, the pacing was good for me because I read it in 2 days. I think the middle is where it lags the most because there's a lot of, like, training montage kind of sequences and, like, learning more about the world. And I will say, I feel like for such an extensive world, it probably could have had better world building. But I think those lagging moments kind of they tied you over with the romance. That's when the lagging moments happen, is when the romance is being kind of built up. And I did end up liking the romance, but I agree with Casey on this one. I don't think they needed to be fated mates. I think they could have just done enemies to lovers without the fated mates, because then it just really calls into question enemies. Because, like, can you really call it enemies to lovers if they were fated mates? But anyway, I digress. I think the pacing is all right. If you like fantasy books, you'll be fine with it.
I did struggle with the pacing. I took me a long time to read it, but it wasn't totally the book's fault. Like, I was also just kind of in a reading slump that was kind of unrelated. So I think it took me like closer to like 8 days or 9 days to read it. But actually the part that I really started to struggle was the ending. I felt like the ending drug on and on and on and on. And I kept thinking we were at like the last part, and then there would be another part, and then there would be another part. And I was like, oh my God, when do I get to finish this book? But I was obviously not as into it as you guys were. So I was like ready for it to be done. I was like, please end this. And I just didn't think, like, the ending was a lot, and the book leading up to it was, like, comparatively almost, like, nothing. And so, I don't know, that's just a big pet peeve of mine, especially in fantasy novels, where I just feel like I'm kind of reading a normal kind of plot-along book, and then all of a sudden the ending is, like, the entire world building, the entire plot building, the entire everything at once.
Chaos.
Yeah. Because I was just, like... I don't know. I was just ready for it to be over. And then it felt like we were learning things that we could have learned during the book at the very last moment. So anyway, I didn't think the pacing was that great. I thought it was longer than it needed to be, but I also didn't think it was like horrible.
Fair. Well, Netflix paid 7 figures for the rights to Quicksilver.
Yeah, that does not surprise me.
No. Will you watch it if it's a movie?
Personally, no. But I feel like this is just going to be like, they're going to make it cheesy. Honestly, I think they're going to make it cheesy and bad. And so, because they're going to want it to be like, it's just going to become like, what's that Six of Crows book?
Shadow and Bone. 100%.
Shadow and Bone. Yeah, I feel like they're just going to Shadow and Bone-ify it and it's not going to be good.
Well, I don't think Netflix can truly do the amount of smut this book is.
I was about to say, if they keep it authentic, it'll be very dirty.
Yeah, it'll just be softcore porn at that point.
Yeah. But like this article I was reading talks about how they've also picked up Fourth Wing and Butcher and Blackbird. So
Okay, I did not know that
they picked up Butcher and Blackbird.
Yeah, that's scary. Uh-huh. I mean, I would watch it just for like,
yeah,
to see what they do.
Like between my fingers, like.
Yeah, that concerns me more than Quicksilver on the screen. So,
oh, for sure. Butcher and Blackbird is a lot worse than Quicksilver.
Yeah, smut wise, murder wise, everything.
Yeah, I know. Quicksilver also has just, I thought it was a really vivid world once you left the friggin' desert. That's a big undertaking. I'd watch it just for curiosity's sake. Yeah, I think it's supposed to be a trilogy. Eventually.
Yep.
So we'll see.
All right. It's that time. Busy girl rating.
I'll scare it again.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to give it 3 stars. I'm going to knock down my quality rating because it is long. And if you're not committed to the fantasy journey into the romantasy genre, it's going to take a little bit longer to get through. But if you love fantasy and love romanticity, it's a 5-star busy girl rating. So we've got kind of a weird spectrum here.
Going off that, I'm going to give it a 4 and drop my rating 1. I think if you've picked it up, you're already into romanticy and don't mind reading books TikTok throws at you. So it's a fairly easy read. The 1-star off for just being really long.
I'm honestly torn because I feel like normally what kills books is the pacing as far as like busy girl reading goes. But I would not recommend this book. Like, I will not be recommending it. And I think if you're not a romantasy reader, there's like literally no reason to read it. So I'm probably gonna give it a 2. I'm gonna boost from my 1. Okay. I think, you know, you're at the airport browsing a shelf, you pick it up, you know, it's a fine enough time filler. Like, but I think if you're going to read romanticy, there's a lot, like many, many better options.
I'll allow.
That's fair. It's your opinion.
Catherine, you look so bad.
It's fine.
She's not even the one who gave it 5 stars.
I know.
I feel like before we do romantasy books, Catherine and I should just like take shots these days so we can make it through with Casey.
You right. I probably should have gotten drunk for this.
Honestly,
or maybe we should have just got Casey drunk before.
Yeah. I don't think you want me then, because then I will struggle to shut the fuck up.
I mean, yeah, no, I would just become an argumentative bitch. Let's be real. Right.
We'll have an actual fight on the podcast.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, we are to our spoiler alert section. So, you know, I'm sure no matter what, we've intrigued you to some degree. If you want to read the book, go pick it up, read it, and come back. If not, you're in for a wild ride. So yeah, let's get into it. Our first question is, a rant from Casey while Caitlin and I try to defend this book.
Wow, you really just threw us into the fire, Catherine.
Yeah.
I mean, we might as well just get it, rip the Band-Aid off and let Casey go, and then we'll try and defend it from there.
Okay, I actually am very curious to hear y'all's thoughts on this. I already made it clear my big issue with this book is I think the romance is totally flat, empty. I thought there was no character building. I thought there was no vulnerability, no honest moments. I actually genuinely felt like Kingfisher was extremely mean to the female main character to an degree that I actually just, like, don't forgive him and think it was unnecessary. And I guess we're supposed to forgive him because they're fated mates. And you fast forward to the end and he's like, I did that to push you away from me. And I'm like, okay, that's the stupidest reasoning I've ever heard in my life. And I actually, like, reading the book, it made me cringe so hard because she talks about the way he makes her feel. And it actually kind of broke my heart. Like, she talks about how he makes her feel stupid. He makes her feel insecure. He makes her feel insignificant. And I was like, to me, I just don't get it. I don't get behind it. And then we just forgive him all of a sudden. Like, oh, they're fated mates. So actually they have this great love story, even though he treated her like fucking shit and made her feel bad about herself for 500 pages. Like, that's not the story with Feyre and Rhys. It's like, I just don't think it's a good romance. I think it's actually really gross and toxic.
Okay, I will give you, I don't totally love the romance, mostly because I think it went from, like, no romance to totally 100. In love with zero in between.
Total insta-love.
So, I mean, he is described as being hot, so I think it was more carnal than, like...
But that's not love.
Correct.
You're right, 100%.
And that's why I thought at the end, her, like, making this decision to... I don't know. It lessened the impact of the ending, I feel like, because I was kind of like, why are you doing this for him? So I do agree with that. However, I ignored it.
Yes, I agree with you. And I said earlier that I don't think they should have been fated mates, because I think that does create an insta-love kind of issue. Or if you're going to do fated mates, do it kind of like SJM does, where fated mates not necessarily going to end up together. Like, SJM makes that clear, like, that, you mean, you see it with Elaine and Lucien.
It would be much better as enemies to lovers.
Yes. And if it then calls into question whether enemies to lovers is the correct way to describe it, because if you were mates all along, then were you truly enemies? And they also describe this book as slow burn, and I don't agree with that.
No.
It's so quick. It's
0 to 100.
Yeah. And I think if you're going to truly do slow burn, you had to make it. Maybe they could have sex in this book, but, like, not a relationship. Like, and you don't end it on a relationship. You leave,
like,
it open.
Sex. Yeah.
Yes. It does read like that. It's carnal desire kind of thing. And that's how
I'm uncomfortable.
I totally get it. I kind of just read it as, I don't know, maybe I didn't forgive him, but I'm hoping for more development in the future where, like, they actually talk. And actually,
I mean,
like,
they
have
sort of have
a
the conversation that he's like, I have nothing good in my life. So when good things come, I try and push it away because I ruin everything. And I'm like, okay, I kind of get it. They could have talked more about it, but.
Yes, I think with Kingfisher, I didn't necessarily forgive him, but I understood him, where he's been deeply traumatized and he bullies people in order to push them away because he doesn't want another person's death on his hands and he doesn't want. People who get close to him die. It's a very classic teen trope, honestly. Like, that's kind of like every teen drama on TV has this kind of thing. I guess, like, yeah, I'm with Caitlin on this one in the sense of, like, I just forgot it and just was enjoying the ride, enjoying the world, enjoying kind of, like,
right,
the journey.
So
you were there for the vibes.
I cannot, like, I can't help the part of my brain that thinks constantly, what is the message we're sending women about the love they should accept in their lives? And the message of this book is that it doesn't matter if he treats you like shit. He could be a good guy in the end. And you don't need him to prove that to you. You should stay. You should withstand his fucking abuse. And in the end, like, choke on his cock. Like, it was literally insta love, and it bothered me so much, like, so much more than other insta love books, because he treated her so badly. I was like, okay, so he actually treats you like shit, then he wants to get all up in your romance, he's like mocking you and making you feel uncomfortable because he can smell your arousal, and you're just so attracted to him that you accept it, and then we all start to like him because, oh, they're fated mates, so actually he's not a bad person. Like, that's what we're shipping off to women. It's, like, concerning to me. Like, this is what women are like, oh, yeah, we love this romance. Like, this guy is, like, awful, and then they have extremely rough sex, and then at the end he's, like, a puppy dog, and we're like, yeah.
I see your point. I feel like I didn't experience it to that extent personally, but I do see your point.
And I will also say, no, I don't condone that in real life. There's not mates in real life, so that kind of helps that situation out.
But this is how women feel. We're going to wait on the shitty guy. We see that he's a good guy underneath it all. We're going to wait.
No. I mean, I would hope no. I don't believe that. And I don't think my reading habits don't dictate who I date.
I mean, people are over here reading Haunting Adeline and shit, so.
Yeah. And I will say, a lot of the, romance. Like. Yeah, like, no.
This is what we're saying romance is.
Yeah. It's Haunting Adeline, also a romance. And
it's like her stalker.
Yeah. Sticks a gun in her. Yeah.
I see your point. I'm reading to escape and it's fantasy, therefore it's not a real scenario in my head. Maybe other people do read it differently, and I hope they don't view love that way, but in my head it's just a fantasy.
It's more so to me that, like, how do you buy into the romance? Like, I can't fall in love with him or their relationship, and it, like, then it's like, what's the point of the book? Like, just reading this and, like, just being like, yeah.
I mean, like, I personally can only personally read
and fall in love with romances where I actually think it's a good romance.
Fair.
Totally fair.
Didn't have the same issue, but fair. Yeah.
Your opinion is valid.
That was just, like, my biggest thing of why I couldn't, like any of it. But I also did have gripes with the magic system, which I think has become also kind of just textbook romanticy. Is, like, at first I thought the Quicksilver thing was really interesting. I like that we have a female main character who's essentially a welder. I thought that was cool. But it was one of those books where then it just, like, at the end, like, as you continue going on, instead of, like, that magic system becoming better built out and more understandable and solid, I actually just felt, like, increasingly confused because the Fae have magic. We don't really know anything about their abilities, but they seem to all have unique powers. But for some reason, their abilities don't work in the vampire world because, I guess,
even though vampires used to be Fae.
Yeah.
So why don't their powers work? Like, I don't understand why that means their powers don't work anymore.
They desecrated the land.
Yeah, they said, like, they sucked all the magic out.
The land is evil, and so now magic can't thrive there. Yeah. I was, like, confusing.
And then, like, a lot of the books, the magic is tied to the land.
I agree with that, but I just did not feel like there was any logic or, like, explanation behind, oh, this is how things work. It was just, like, as the book goes on, we just kind of pull things out of a hat, like, as needed.
I think it took a lot of liberties with people who have read other Fae-based books and just said, here, use your imagination. The thing the author focused on was the half-humans, the alchemists. And I thought that part was really unique. It did feel a little lawless outside of that. Yeah. However, I was okay because I was more focused on, like, the alchemist thing, which was the point.
Yeah, I think you're right. I totally agree that the author took liberties in the sense of she assumed that you are into fantasy if you are reading her book and you're into Fae. And so you already know the laws of Fae, and she just accepted them and moved on without building her own Fae laws and world. I really like the alchemist part because I'm fascinated by alchemy. Like, it's a real thing that happened in, like, it was basically the predecessor to chemistry. And this whole, like, in Queen Elizabeth's time, people were trying to melt metals in order to create an elixir of life, like immortal life. And that's what alchemy is like, they melt metals and, like, create like chemical
processes.
Harry
Potter and the Philosopher's Stone.
Yeah. And I always find alchemy super interesting. So I was very interested in the fact that, like, Quicksilver and only some people can access it, tap into it, talk to it, like, meld it into different shapes and objects. And I did like that she didn't instantly be amazing at it. I think a lot of books where the magic system, like, oh, they're instantly amazing at it. Shots at Feyre there a bit, but I liked that she was really struggling and it required actual base knowledge of how to weld the equipment, make the equipment, and kind of adapt to the magic system. And I wanted to learn more about it. So I'm interested to see what happens now that she's no longer human.
It did throw me for a loop when the Quicksilver was like run by the gods.
Yeah.
So that means they're in Kingfisher's head talking to him.
Yes.
Yeah, that threw me for a loop. I'm going to need further explanation on that part. I was following up until then when they're like, we'd like an audience with you. And then suddenly she was in like the gods realm.
Yeah.
Well, and then the gods were basically just like, this is your one chance to save all of humanity. I was like, wait, what? Like
every universe in the world. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that's only what kind of lost me. But also the adrenaline at the end of the book kept me from like giving up on that. So like, yeah, the second book's going to have to do some re-explaining of some of the magic system and layers of the worlds.
It felt like no one knew the magic system, even like the side characters.
Yeah. And they seemed okay with it because they just kind of played on the, oh, we're fae. We just do what we do.
Yeah. Well, this is what you mentioned earlier. This is my last big gripe with the book. So after that, we're done.
Are we?
So soon.
Well, we're not done, but this is the last thing that I'm really going to make a point of. And it's, I'm sorry, I am so fucking tired of authors just stealing SJM's worlds. Like, just taking her fae and being like, this is how fae work, and we're just operating on that, like, as if this is, like, the standard in fantasy now. I think it is so, like, creatively lazy. It actually makes my eyes roll back in my head. Like, the fated mates, the fangs, the, except they're kind of also vampires in this one, which was also kind of weird.
Sort of zombies. I don't know.
Sort of zombies.
It was really giving like White Walkers.
Yes. Yeah, like 100%. That's what I was thinking, was White Walker.
I was like, the wall, right. Protect the wall.
Protect the wall.
Just the river. That's all.
Yeah. Where's Jon Snow?
Yeah. It actually, now that you're saying that, I feel like it borrowed a lot from Game of Thrones.
It did. I was like, I feel like, I'm sorry, it is not creativity to like take two things you have seen and like kind of mash them together and then just leave it there. Like, I was like, this is just not, like, for me, a big part of why I read books is I love experiencing something like new and seeing how things are creative and people like take a concept and run with it and like make it different. And then that changes your whole experience. Like, reading a book is like how people can play and expand on things. And to me, this is like actually like borderline copyright, like boring, pass. But I'm telling you guys now, all right, I'm putting my foot fucking down. The next fated mates, fae, that are literally work the exact same as SJMs, you're getting a 1-star because that's fucking lazy.
Damn. I get it, though.
I personally don't think it was that extreme. I feel like when you read something, you get ideas, and that's how new books are conceived. And I think most authors are pretty okay with like being the inspiration as long as you're not taking, you know, word for word. And I've heard authors talk about that. Like, yeah, like every idea is an iteration on someone else's idea. However, yeah, I don't think it was as extreme as you're saying. Like, I see echoes of things, not like copyright infringement.
Yeah, it is not copyright infringement.
I just think, if you don't have to explain how anything works because it works the exact same as another author's, then you're gone too far.
I don't think it does. I think it's just a general assumption. If you read fantasy, just like, hey, magic is there. It's in the land. People use it differently at the end. Like, I think there was some creativity allowed. Do I like rules and structure? Yes. I don't think everybody needs that to enjoy a book.
And I will say, that I think that just goes to show different reading styles and what you look for in books, because I'm kind of in the middle of you two, where I do like a good formulaic book if it's done well. So I obviously agreed more with Caitlin on this book, but I also really, really love, and I think I give 5 stars to books that create entirely new magic systems, new worlds, and are really like creatively interesting, where it's like, I can say no other book is like that. Like where, what is the book? The river. Oh my God. The one in the Nile. What the River Knows. Like that was a very unique magic system, a very unique like,
Spark
setting.
Of the Everflame, very unique.
Yeah.
I think this one's unique enough and the world is like well built enough that I was interested, but there's probably more to come. It's one of those like, is this a good book on its own or does it need the rest of the series?
And right. I will say, like, doing this podcast with y'all for many, many episodes, I know that Caitlin and I give books a lot more grace if they don't have the second book out yet. And then we have the hopes of the second book expanding on and hopefully like.
Now, if the second book burns me, I burn the whole series.
Yes, exactly. Say that is totally
Carissa Broadbent. I'm looking at you.
And Casey's brought this up in other episodes that like a lot of authors are no longer doing the single book kind of thing where you can solve everything by a single book and have a whole outline and whole plot stand alone, even if it's in a series.
We and just really like to hear ourselves talk these days, okay?
Yes.
So we're good people.
Yeah. So it's, I mean, I think all of our opinions are valid in this case because I can totally see Casey. Yeah. I can totally see
Casey. So wholesome. Thank you.
I know.
But it's true. Everyone gets to read the books they like. Not everyone has to like the same thing.
And you know what? I'm sure soon enough, Casey will make us read something we hate.
Yeah.
Something cannibalism.
Yes, exactly.
Been really on top of it lately. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, y'all totally hate books.
I really did think she'd like this one. So now I'm doubting everything I've ever thought about suggesting books to Casey. So
to be fair, I was cautiously optimistic, but not that cautiously optimistic. Yeah.
We kind of hyped it up to her too. So oops.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, it wasn't just y'all. Like I have seen this book everywhere too. Okay. So
let's talk about the main character, and I'm gonna start before Casey gets to it. Catherine and I will go first this time. Like I said earlier, I like that Saris is actively trying to change her situation and better her situation and has a plan. She's not just like, woe is me, stuck in a tower, you know, like she does not give a crap if a man were going to come and rescue her. And the man really didn't rescue her. He kidnapped her.
Yes.
You know, it was kind of Shrek-esque there.
I was not expecting that reference.
I don't know. I didn't mind Saris. She's grouchy. She could have used a little more, I don't know, razzle dazzle, but I thought she was a good person and had mostly good intentions. She just wasn't, you know, wasn't as shiny as some other female main characters can be. I did like her dedication to her like found family. I did not like her dedication to her brother. Her brother's a piece of shit.
Her brother can go fuck himself.
So she's like basing all of this on her brother, who may or may not be alive. And I'm like, your brother's a piece of shit, okay?
Yeah. He's gambling away all of your money and all of your life.
Sorry. I needed the brother to be more lovable for the stakes to really, like, for me to feel the stakes. I was kind of like, why would you go back?
Yeah. I mean, it's very Katniss Everdeen with Prim. And, you know,
so Prim was lovable, though. Henry is not.
You're right. 100% right. And it's men. That's the problem. Anyway,
thank you. Good point.
Yeah. I like Saris more than other female main characters we've read, i.e. Diem, because I think she's smarter. And she can read the room a little bit better. But I agree with Casey. She is cringy at moments because now I'm remembering being secondhand embarrassed. Yes, I do remember some of those scenes. You've reminded me of them. Yes. Yeah. Ouch. Cringe. But I think she has better problem solving skills. She's more likely to actually try the scientific method and try things that she doesn't know are right or wrong. And I don't know. It felt like she could come out of her own situation without the help of others. Which I kind of look for in a female main character, of this independence without needing a man to fix everything for her. But I do agree that
she didn't. Kingfisher needed her to fix everything.
No. Mm-hmm. So I think despite her embarrassment and her lack of social skills, I liked her.
Okay. I agree with those points. I think those are all true. She's
who I liked even more? The side characters.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, there's two things that bothered me about Saris. One is that she works really hard to go get her brother in the beginning, which I thought was great. You know, she's being an independent woman out in these streets, hatching plans and whatnot. The problem is that then once she gets Carrion instead, she just quits.
You're totally right.
I can't wait to talk about the side characters, obviously.
Literally just stops, like, trying. And I was like,
well, because okay. He can't go back and get him and anyone else. He told her that.
So she's just done now? That's
she's
it?
She's, like, accepting that she has to hold up her end of the bargain so that they can get more talismans and go through the Quicksilver.
It felt so inconsistent to me. Like, the whole first half of the book, or first, like, third of the book is about I'm not doing anything unless I find my family. Like, I cannot move forward until, like, my family is here with me and safe. And then she's like, makes a stupid bargain. And then after that is like, doesn't think about her brother again.
Hey, but Carrion also talks about, like, her brother, she knows is in a safe place now and not dead, so she can move on. Like, Carrion is the one who tells her, like, oh, I set your brother up, he's fine. And she's like, okay, cool, we're good for a little while.
Yes.
I thought it was explained.
He literally does not care.
And also, I didn't like Henry, so I didn't care.
Right. I just thought that was, like, such a wild character flip that happened almost immediately.
I don't know. I feel like it was explained.
I feel like it was explained, too. And I think it was a level of hopelessness.
To me, it was like, Fisher literally fucked her over so bad. And then
an accident.
Yeah, but he still fucked her over.
What's she going to do about it?
That's what I'm saying.
Well,
something. Be angry at least.
She's not.
She doesn't do anything about it. She literally just accepts it. She's like, oh, well, I guess I better figure out how to do these relics then.
But she was incredibly angry about it.
And she has to do relics so she can go back.
She's barely angry at all. She's actually angry at Carrion because he tells her he lies more than she's angry at Kingfisher.
Well,
he's like, I'm going to teach you a lesson. And then she's like, oh, all right, well, you're still sexy.
I like Carrion.
I like Carrion, too.
Carrion's a good side character.
The book is funny because of Carrion.
Yes.
And not a lot of romantices can have the comedic qualities this one does, and it's entirely Carrion.
A comedic character that previously had sex with the female main character is hilarious.
Who you're worried is her brother for a little while.
Yeah, I was
I was extremely worried about that.
Oh my god, did she have sex with her brother? And then he's like, I smelled you on him, and I was like, ugh. I don't know which is worse.
Right.
Actually, yeah, no, having sex with your brother is worse.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No, absolutely. The other thing, this is another thing that really bothered me in the plot of the book, is she does all these whack-ass experiments. When I was like, girl, it's so obvious. You talk to this thing. Every single thing you get it to do, you do it by talking to it.
Well, then Carrion's like, have you tried asking it?
Yeah. I was just like,
he's funny.
You have to ask it for literally every single thing you get it to do that you know how to get it to do. Why wouldn't you just ask it to do the relic? Like, it
I think
just
she's
no
hoping
sense.
That's not the case, because who wants to be talking to a ball of silver?
It just made no sense to me that she couldn't put that together.
Well, she's stubborn.
I was like, that's extremely obvious.
Yeah, like, no, that's why I love Carrion, because he was just have you tried?
I would also be like, that feels too obvious. Let me try the practical ways first.
But there wasn't practice. She was taking random shots in the dark, like with just bullshit random ingredients.
A scientific method.
Yeah, that's what she was told to do. That so she
I was
did.
Like, how do you get the pool to work? Oh, you just ask it. So
I mean, yes, but that's why you love Carrion.
I mean, it was the moment when she realizes it was funny. Yeah. But it just made me angry that the whole part of the book is so obvious. Well,
especially because the Quicksilver's laughing at her every single time.
Yes, it's laughing at her. It's mocking her.
On the weird chant thing. Real weird.
It's like,
real
you're weird. Dumb, girl. Yeah.
I don't know. I thought it was funny.
I thought it was funny too.
Also, carry on scene where he's throwing knives with Taryn. Is that what's his? Who's the other
Ren?
No, Mia? No, no, no. The other one.
Oh, I don't remember. Starts with an H, maybe?
I thought it was like another Taryn or something. Anyway.
What are the other side characters? There's like the lovable best friend who's actually Ren. Nice.
Yeah.
The sister who's nice.
Everlane. And then there's the fox, Onyx. Thank you.
Love the
pet. There's the best character.
It's the other warrior.
I literally put a question in here of just like, as animal lovers, what did you think of Onyx?
I love a pet edition.
It's the warrior guy who gets the sword.
Lorith?
That one.
Yeah.
Not Taryn. I knew there were two R's in it, though. Yeah, that one. I love Lorith and his interactions with Carry On, too.
Yes.
Actually, I love everyone's interactions with Carry On.
And well, I like that the swords choose the person who wields them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That one female warrior was a bitch.
Pissed. She was pissed. I was like,
that is one thing. Where are the other strong women? Okay.
That is something.
The only other strong woman was a bitch.
Because there's the sister who's really sweet.
Yeah, but she's useless.
But otherwise does nothing. And then the only other female character in the book is like a raging, rancid, awful bitch.
Yeah.
You're right. 100%.
And then
we need more female warriors.
Like, yeah. This book does not pass the Bechdel test.
So actually, it does not pass the SJM test either. So.
No. You're right. It does not pass the Bechdel test at all.
Oops. Cringe. Deeply cringe.
I don't know. Surrounded by hot men. Sure. That's a fantasy.
Oh, God. I'm revoking your feminist card. You better hand that back.
It's fantasy. It's not real. Okay.
So? We should
know.
Okay, anyway, we've already talked about Kingfisher a lot, but if there's something that you guys want to say about him or the romance, go for it.
I mean, love Shadow Daddy. Don't love that he's a bully, but he is a Shadow Daddy.
He's repressed.
He's also lovable in the most unlovable way.
Right. And that's like when you find out why he's been tortured, like what was going on while he was trapped in the vampire realm for 100 years, you feel really bad for him.
That he made a bad deal. Yeah.
And yeah. He like had to kill all those people to save them. But instead, they were caught between life and death, taunting him. And yeah, no wonder he's crazy.
Yeah.
I liked that he was crazy because I thought that was an interesting character thing.
And it's not that like from the love interest, in his head, no. It's from the torture he's endured. Yeah. You know, it's very re-sand under the mountain-esque.
Yes.
But so not
at the end, we do find out that the witch can help do a thing that can like bit by tiny bit take the Quicksilver out.
Even though the gods like told her you can't do that. So
which I felt like.
I feel like we'll become a true point. Yeah.
Yeah. And also,
I doubt
like,
that's such
why
true.
Why didn't you ask the witches before?
Because they don't like the witches.
Yeah.
Also, why are there witches?
Why are there witches? The witch part of it, I didn't make sense to me. Like, I felt like that was like a one-off thing that didn't.
It totally was definitely introducing a character that'll be more important next book and didn't need to be in this one. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they needed to give you hope that they could save Everlane and then in turn eventually save Ceres when she got bit. However, Ceres didn't need saving because the gods plucked her up and made her two things that weren't human. And
yes,
a little too simple, but sounds pretty complex in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah,
half vampire, half fae.
Yeah,
I think the other plot point that I'm getting really annoyed with in fantasy books, just because of the repetition of it, is sort of young woman falls in love with thousands of years old man and then somehow by the end of the book gets immortality.
You're right.
Yep. Of course.
She already had some drops of fae blood, but yeah. He was like, even if we only have a few years, and then she's like, surprise, bitches, I live forever now.
I was like, really? This romance is going to work when she starts getting old? Like, let's see how she turns this girl into a fae. Right.
I mean, yes, we all knew. However,
now the actual risk is that he dies. So,
yeah,
there's still some tension. I didn't love the ending. I'll keep reading to figure out how it works, though.
Right. Yeah.
I felt the ending was too rushed. I agree. I think it just happened so fast and so much.
Too easy of a solution.
Yeah. Yes.
Saving her life thing, which is like, honestly, they're all like that. So it's fine. You're not going to kill the main character. Okay.
I was fine with the God part of it because I always love a good mythology.
That was cool. Yeah. Maybe if they had just like saved her. Or maybe if she had just become a vampire, why'd she have to be like two things?
Yeah.
They did say she had to be two things because it had to be something like none of the other gods would notice.
Yes.
Something
I like. I am so fascinated by Xerath because he's so like, one wants to look at him.
Yeah.
Like they don't want to like praise him or anything. And he's off to the side and suddenly he pops into the Quicksilver and it's just like, you are the only one that can save humanity. And I'm going to make you two things that the gods can't touch you then. And the gods are all playing tricks with each other. And I just want to see like the puppet masters, essentially. Like they're the puppet masters.
I'm also intrigued by the other vampire guy.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. That was a big question mark. I was like, I'm sorry, who is this?
And not only did the god suck her into the Quicksilver to talk to her and then make her half vampire, half fae to save her and keep her from detection, because she also killed the one lead vampire guy, the Triumvirate. We haven't even touched on the freaking Triumvirate thing. Now she's the queen of the vampires?
Yes.
Yeah, that's going to be
which was an awesome cliffhanger, by the way, when you figured out where she was. But
I did actually like that twist, especially because I was like,
oh, and Carrie on Fey.
Yeah.
The long lost heir to.
Yeah. I mean, I think we all saw that coming too.
We all saw that coming.
As soon as they mention an heir and then they bring Carrie on in, and I was like, all right, here we fucking go.
You seem way too okay with everything. And you're like,
yeah. Like he was just like, I'll take it in stride. It's not like I haven't seen this before.
He was like, and I'm here now. And I was like, weird.
Shouldn't he have still died when the vampire like attacked him though or whatever?
No, because their blood's toxic.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So the thing I thought was really weird about him that I think is kind of a plot hole is that they live in this kind of like small village area and he's been there for like thousands of years.
A small village.
But
it's a city.
It's a district. Talks about how everyone knows her in this district, like she grows up here and people know who she is. And so I'm like, how is Carrie on living in the human world not aging for like 1,000 years?
It just hop districts easy.
Yeah,
the other districts don't mingle,
I guess,
and then pretend to be long lost descendants of the other.
Yeah, I wasn't that caught up on it.
No,
just seems
change your name every generation and then say, oh, I'm so and so's kid, the end,
I guess.
All the people are dying anyway. No one's going to remember him.
Yeah, everyone's dying young. So there's no elderly, really, people there.
People are far more concerned with water.
Yes. Which I actually thought was a really good plot point that they're like all fighting over water. Yeah, I kind of wished it ended up being more important, but maybe it will be in the next book.
Well, because we haven't gone back to the place yet.
Yeah. Right.
I don't know. Let's talk on the Triumvirate really quick. The big bads all teamed up from different realms. How do we feel about that? Siblings, maybe?
How it works? Yeah, yeah, I'm just sort of confused still about what they are.
Yeah, okay, me too.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, because they're maybe not Fae.
Well, that's no, they're definitely not.
Is this woman, because it's supposed to be like Fae, vampire, human, or at least that's how it looks.
The human is thousands of years old.
But she's like the undying human. And so I'm like, are they all just vampires? Like, I don't really understand their bond together.
I'm confused like, how she stayed young.
The one guy gave birth, like he has Everlane.
Yes.
Like he has kids.
Yes.
I don't know.
I mean, I could believe they're all different species, but I'm still confused how the mortal queen's alive.
Yeah.
And it's probably still alive.
She's definitely still alive.
And she ran back to the human realm.
Well, and then her guards get, when they get killed in the human world, they show up back up in the fey world and then go back. Like, that whole magic system, I don't get.
They just, like, don't die. She doesn't let them die.
How?
Well, that's the question.
Because when the other guy dies, he says, like, I can't die. Like, you have to take it out of me. And then they're like...
Yeah, he was like, I wish I could greet death or something.
Yeah, like... Which I also don't totally understand what's up with that.
I think it's Quicksilver?
I guess, but can you not die if you have Quicksilver in your body?
I don't know. Kingfisher's dying from the Quicksilver, I think.
Yeah, he is. Or is he dying or is he going crazy? That's the question.
I mean, I feel possibly like one leads to the other.
Yeah. Yes, but you could be immortal and crazy. I have
questions still, but... I'll just read the next book.
I mean, I like the big bads all teaming up because I think that gives a lot bigger stakes, but I'm confused about how and why and where.
I think they're siblings.
Really?
Yeah.
It was weird. I was not ever clear on if they were actual siblings or if they just considered each other siblings because of whatever, like, bond or whatever they had taken.
I thought they were just bonded, not siblings, because they're all different species.
I don't know. Okay, guess we'll find out later.
I was also just really confused as to why. So the big bad, one of the big bads is like Kingfisher's like stepdad, mm-hmm. who is also has the throne of their like proper Fey realm country.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But then he doesn't want to fight against the vampires' hordes. Mm-mm. But so then I was confused as to like, what do other people think who are not in the army? Like, why are they doing this? Was he just gonna let
the hordes? He was gonna let the vampires expand all the way to the edge of his kingdom.
But then why would he do that? Because then he'll have no kingdom.
No, because he has a kingdom. He doesn't have all of it. Like, Kingfisher has some of it.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'm confused as to, like, what?
He was going to let all the other Fey realms get eaten up by the vampires. And then they would have a pact that he could save his own kingdom.
And he has the wealth and the Quicksilver. So that's what mm-hmm. he wants. And he's conquered other Fey realms because I mentioned he took Quicksilver from somewhere else to his place.
So. Right. But I'm just confused as to, like, then what? Were they
he
doing?
Also doesn't like Kingfisher's dad, so he didn't care if Kingfisher's kingdom was getting overrun by the Horde. However, Kingfisher was holding off the Horde.
Yes.
Yeah, I just find that all a little, like...
I think he's like, you can have this one. Anyway.
I mean, I feel like propaganda... probably is how he convinces other Fae that he's actually helping, but he's not. I don't know.
I'm like, all of the people fighting with Kingfisher, are they all living in his realm? He says there's not even any people living there anymore.
Yeah, they all live at the war mm-hmm. camp. They're all from his realm.
Because they say they've been at the war camp for centuries.
Yeah. Everyone else is getting picked off by vampires or it's fled. I think that's genuinely what is happening.
But then I'm just like, why... I mean, I understand why the warriors fight, but it's also like, I just don't really understand the whole dynamic of like defending this piece of land. Like, why didn't they just leave?
Because they didn't want the other smaller species and stuff to get turned into vampires.
I think that's like, it's a lot like a White Walker kind of thing where the wall is, once the wall falls, what's going to stop it from going all the way through the realm? So I think that's the stopgap where it's like, if they don't defend this mountain range slash land, it will become overrun for the rest of the kingdom. They don't realize that the king has made a deal with the vampire horde, but they assume. Right.
I mean, because it talks about them being like, why isn't the king helping us? He's going to be next. And it's because he doesn't care.
Yeah. So I think it's very Game of Thrones-esque. It's the White Walkers are coming down off the wall.
Yeah.
The sacrificial lambs. Okay, let's talk about book recommendations.
Oh my God.
Wait, what's this at the end here? The author said she plans on releasing two additional books based on side characters.
Yeah, but yeah. Every lame book I'm not in.
So yes, so this is supposed to be a trilogy. Book two is coming out in November of this year. And we've already answered the question of like, will you continue on? It's Caitlin and I continuing on in case he's done. But there are two other books that the author has said that she's writing that are on side characters' journeys. So my question is, which side characters would you want to see? I know Carrion is one of them.
Yeah, my guess is she might give us like Henry while his sister's gone, but I don't care.
I don't care about Henry. I want Carrion.
I would also like,
mad at Henry. It's just so funny to me.
I would take like a Ren Loreth adventure.
I would take that too.
I do think I would love a Henry prequel about, or not Henry.
Carrion.
What's the Carrion? There we go.
Yeah.
About how like his life before and how he got like cut out of the Fey realm. I think that would be interesting. Yeah,
I don't know if they're gonna be post or pre this series. Yeah, but
or like I don't Tower even Dawn. Know if they're guaranteed.
It's like an option for two,
right? I mean, I guess it partly depends on like what is happening in the human realm in book two, right?
It reminded me a lot when I heard that news of Serpent in the Wings of Night and how they're just creating like other duologies in the world. And I'm like, well, I stopped after the first two.
Respectfully, no, thank you.
Yeah, I'm good. All right, cool. Yeah, I mean, Caitlin said it. Book recommendations.
I'll just say it because we did it last week. Spark of the Everflame. If you like this book, you'll probably enjoy Spark of the Everflame.
Yes, I agree with that.
Except Casey liked one and not the other.
Yeah, but Casey's weird. Casey's not a fantasy girly, and I think we've established that now. No. 127 episodes in.
I'll do, of course, Serpent in the Wings of Night. Only book one, my most famous like switch up on a book series.
I mean, we all had the switch up on that.
Yeah, we were all in agreement on that one.
Yeah, for sure. But to me, that's a book that like did the hard thing, right? Which is something I think I missed in this one.
Until it didn't.
Yeah, until they reversed the hard thing.
Yeah. I'm going to give you Heavenly Bodies or the Jassad Heir.
Ooh, Jassad Heir. I want book two of that one soon.
Mm-hmm. I feel like those both have kind of stubborn but slightly more likable female main characters and also complex kind of political. They're kind of get pulled into this political issues that they don't want any part of kind of thing.
Right. All right, cool. These are just our opinions. You heard a lot of them today. We'd love to hear from you guys and, you know, what you liked and what you didn't like. And if you think, you know, we should have talked about something or you want to point something out, you are welcome to send us an email, slide into our DMs, whatever. You can do that at Busy Girls Pod pretty much everywhere. You can go to busygirlspod.com to see our full list of episodes and book recommendations. So yeah, rate and review our podcast, please.
And please let us know any books that you want to see us recommend and read and digest. Obviously not a fantasy book that has the same formula for Casey, but I would love to see a fantasy book that is completely unique. And then we have Casey review it. So yes. Yeah. So please send us your book recommendations because we are running low on books on our list and book talk has not replenished itself as much as it should be.
Honestly, yeah, it's been kind of slow on book talk.
I think a lot of sequels are coming out soon. And I think that's why it's kind of slow is that this year is the year of the continuing of a series.
Yeah. Coming soon though, Sunrise on the Reaping, which has been all over book talk.
Which is a continuing of a series. So
yes.
I mean, like sort of.
Sort of. It's standalone.
A revisit of the Hunger Games.
A prequel. Yes. Cool. Second prequel. Okay. Anyway. Yes. Anyway, with all of that, I'm Catherine.
I'm Caitlin.
And I'm Casey. Thanks for listening. And when you get a chance, take a break with the Busy Girls Book Club.